Welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an online audio ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and Carson City United Methodist Church. You can visit us on the web at www.carsoncityumc.org, or you can visit my blog at www.thepulpiteer.com for more sermons, Bible studies, and other writings.
It's Easter Sunday, and we've just sung some songs praising God and the resurrection. You know, if you could turn, I'm going to ask you to go. In the traditional service, under that call to worship, there's that thing where it says, Christ is risen, and then in bold is Christ is risen indeed. If you could find that in your bulletins, because I want us to try that. This is an old thing that we've done for years as Christians. On Easter morning, we get together and we talk to each other, and one of the first things we say is we'll try it. Are you ready? Christ is risen. Good. I almost believed you. Now what I want you to picture in your head, if you were here Good Friday, we did the Tenebrae, and it gradually got darker, and we remembered the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we remembered the sacrifice that was made for us, and we remembered how it looked like death was going to win. If you remember the darkness, then you gather this morning, and we're covered with white and with flowers and with signs of life. Think of the transformation that has happened from death to life. Now, we'll try this again. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
And that was a little bit better. Now I want you to think of, you know, any of those areas in your life where it seems like death or darkness has been hammering away at you, those places where that sin is breaking you down, and think about this. Jesus Christ is more powerful than any darkness that you face today. So, Christ is risen. Good, and I believed you that time. Wonderful. Amen. Amen. Okay, this is, we get this chance to read from the gospel account in Matthew of the resurrection. And you should know we had six baptisms last night. We had a baptism this morning, and so I just left it's a baptismal mess up here, but you need to know that. I mean, it's a glorious mess, and so you can see what's going on with all of our people, with the flowers, with the baptism, and this is all because of this that I'm about to read. Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. They expected to see a dead man. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he's been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you'll see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and with great joy, to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them, and he said, "Greetings." And they came to him, and they took hold of his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Would you bow your heads with me, please? Gracious and almighty God, everlasting God, God of life, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today it's Easter. I bought some Peeps. They're from Rite Aid. It says $1.99, but I have a Rite Aid wellness card, so it was 88 cents for this box of, two boxes of Peeps. And, you know, I was thinking about this. It's just, Peeps are, I apologize to any Peep lovers out there, but I don't get them. You know, here we are, we're gathering together today to celebrate the day that Jesus rose from the dead. The day that death has been defeated. God reached down and said no to injustice and said, "I'm going to raise my son from the dead now." And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have hope that death has been defeated. We have hope that those whom we love who have died in Christ, that we can see them again. We have hope of the return of Christ to bring justice and righteousness and goodness on this earth. That someday there will be no more death, no more crying, no more sickness, no more pain, for all the first things have passed away, and Jesus Christ is making all things new, and we remember that by eating marshmallow baby chickens. This is kind of weird, right? And I don't get that. And it gets worse. There's an anthropomorphical bunny that breaks into your house at night and apparently lays chocolate eggs. It's just weird. Bunnies don't lay eggs, or if they do, you shouldn't eat them, right? Those aren't chocolate. And it's not that I have anything against Easter candy, although I don't like Peeps. And I'm just going to tell you, don't eat Peeps. They're a waste of calorie. There's so many wonderful things like dark chocolate and jelly beans. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And I'm telling you this not as your pastor, but as a friend. I think the only way to eat a Peep is probably over a campfire with some chocolate smushed into it and a graham cracker. I think that would work. But besides that, there's other wonderful candies out there. Try them. But I think I bring this up because I think, you know, we wonder, what do you do with Easter? What do we do with Easter? How do we celebrate it? And how do we commemorate this day that death has been defeated? What even happened? I mean, what exactly happened? Perhaps you've heard that Jesus died for you and for your sins, and that he was raised again so that now you can go to heaven when you die if you believe in him. Well, yes, that is true, and it's a wonderful truth, but it's actually much better than that. Scripture tells us that the kingdom of God will come here to earth. And as we look at the events of the first Easter, we see that it's more than just going off to heaven. We see that actually the kingdom of God is breaking through in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, in Easter, something is happening here on this earth, in our realm, that the kingdom of God is breaking through in our realm, that God is doing something today, that God is making people new in the resurrection, that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope not only in a tomorrow, but in things that God is doing today. And we need something going on in this world. We need hope in this world because there's all sorts of things that get us down. There's all sorts of brokenness. We need hope. There's natural disasters. There's human sin. There's things like the earthquake in Japan that sent tsunamis, and we just think the world is broken. There's things like sin and the results of sin. This past week, there's a police officer that was shot and killed in Kalamazoo. And I was thinking about that. I've got two of my brother-in-laws are police officers, and this guy was just part of a routine call, and his life was ended. And it's not only that that breaks my heart, but there's this guy, the guy who shot the officer then killed himself, and they had that guy's mom on TV, and she was apologizing to the families of the police officer, and she was trying to sort all of this out, what her son had done, trying to sort all of this out, and my heart just broke for the whole situation, for that whole community. See, there's brokenness in the world around us. There's fallenness, there's sin. The world is broken. We need something to hope for. I shared this before. After the tsunamis in Japan, I was listening to a radio show, and a guy was talking about a conversation he had with his daughter. And his daughter said, "Daddy, why did God let the tsunamis happen?" And he said, "Well, we broke the world a long time ago, honey, and this is a part of that. That our sin had an effect on creation. That the world has been broken a long time ago, and this is part of that. So do we even dare to have hope?" I'll make a confession. I'm not an optimist by nature. I'm not really a glass half full guy. I tend to be more skeptical of things. I remember growing up, my dad would say, my mom and dad would have a conversation, they'll go like something like mom would say, "Well, I'm an optimist," and dad would say, "Well, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist," which I kind of like that saying, like, "Well, no, I'm not a pessimist, this is just the way things are." I've told Ann, I said, "You know, people are a really good idea in theory, but then we get to know each other, and then we see that we're broken. And we're hurting and hurtful and we're selfish and sin is a reality. We need something to hope for." And the frustrating thing is this, actually, that it's not just the brokenness, but you can actually see the potential that we could have. We have the potential for so much beauty and love and so much goodness. You can see humans can create some of the most amazing pieces of art or pieces of music, this thing of beauty, or we can create medicines that bring healing to people, or within community. We can have these beautiful moments within community. Last night, we baptized 6 people, and we brought 7 more into membership. This beautiful moment is a community that happens within community, and we can love each other and it's such a wonderful thing, but also within community, you can have some of the most traumatic hurts that can happen. And the people who are closest to you can sometimes be the ones who hurt you the most, and there's this tension between, you know, we are created in the image of God, and you see that potential, but we are also fallen in sin, and you see that reality. The image of God, fallen in sin. Which one is going to win out? Do we dare to hope that goodness would ever win? Or is evil just going to taint everything and take even the beautiful things and destroy it and ruin it? There's a missionary and sociologist named Leslie Newbegin, and he actually began his career as a missionary overseas, came back, and what he observed in the North American culture was that they were really pretty much a post-Christian culture, and so he started thinking about the church in the United States being a missionary community, so that we needed to approach the culture around us as missionaries would approach the culture that they are in. And somebody asked Dr. Newbegin once, they said, you know, in regards to the future of the church, are you an optimist or a pessimist? And Newbegin replied, I'm neither an optimist nor a pessimist. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. What a beautiful answer. It's not about optimism or pessimism, it's about this. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It's hope in that. Hope, not optimism, it's hope in that resurrection, that something really happened 2,000 years ago, and that something is still happening today, that in Jesus Christ we see the inbreaking of the kingdom of God into this world today, that God has begun something that's happening today. There's something going on in creation, in our world, in the resurrection. I love Matthew's account of the resurrection for a couple reasons. It has two parts to the story that you don't really find in the other Gospels. The first one is this earthquake when the stone is moved, and the second one is the guards. So the angels move the stone. The angel moves the stone, and an earthquake happens. And then the tomb is opened. And in fact, as you read this earthquake, if you've been reading through Matthew, if you look at Matthew 27, there's another earthquake that happened. When Jesus dies, it said Jesus died and there was an earthquake. And when the earthquake happened, tombs were opened and some faithful saints got up out of the tomb and walked and came to life. This strange story about Jesus died, the earth quaked, and the tombs opened and some guys got out. Right? And then here we have it again. The angel comes, rolls away the tomb, and what happens? A dead man gets up and walks. And the earth quakes. It's kind of like the earth is shaking. Like the picture we get in Romans 8 is that the earth is in bondage to sin and death and is waiting in eager anticipation for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. That earth is waiting to shake off the bondage of sin and the brokenness, that the world has been broken a long time ago, but God's good creation is waiting, that image of God in us, and that God's good creation is just waiting to shake off those bonds and those shackles and to be free. And the earth is quaking. And the earth is quaking and tombs are opening. And it's kind of like this. The earth suddenly is not so good at keeping its dead. In fact, tombs do not seem to be super effective around Jesus. That's a good word, isn't it? I mean, tombs suddenly have lost their effectiveness when Jesus comes to town. They're not as good at keeping people in them. You notice what happened. The tomb didn't hold Christ. Christ defeated the tomb. Jesus versus the tomb, as Jesus won, the tomb nothing. Right? It's like the tomb got more than it bargained for. The Son of God entered and suddenly death was in trouble. We thought when Good Friday came, we thought, oh no, maybe the forces of God are in trouble. No, when Jesus went into the realm of the dead, it was death that was on its heels. And Matthew's gospel almost paints a picture of dead people just coming to life all over the place. Like suddenly death is losing its grip on humanity. Suddenly death is in trouble. Suddenly death is on the ropes. The church fathers talked about Christ descending into Hades, into the abode of the dead, and defeating it. John Chrysostom said, death thought it took a human body, but ended up meeting God face to face. I mean, that's a cool picture, right? Death thought it got another human and ended up meeting God, and you can almost hear the uh-oh. Isn't that awesome? Like, I love that picture, and I love that image of the resurrection. One of my favorite, I have an icon, and it's an icon of Jesus. It's this painting of Jesus, and he's standing over the gates of Hades, which have been broken, and he's raising up Adam and Eve from the graves. And it's a saying that death has now been defeated. He's broken the gates of Hades, and those who have been imprisoned are set free. that in Jesus Christ something has happened. The forces of death have been overthrown. I love this. Jesus died, and Jesus wasn't changed forever. Jesus died, and death was changed forever. Jesus is victorious. And this, the soldiers guarding the tomb, you know, this is actually just a symbol of oppression, isn't it? I mean, it's adding insult to injury. You've already killed him. What else do you need to do? But there are the soldiers. And it's this reminder that when those with power get together, you can be crushed. And it doesn't matter if it's fair or not. When the powers of the world collude together, the innocent get trampled. And Jesus was innocent, and it was an unfair trial, and he was wrongly convicted and wrongly killed, and there it was, and the soldiers guard him just as a reminder. Living guards to make sure that that tomb stayed closed, that this is the final word, that death wins. We've beaten God. The powers of darkness win, and they guarded carefully their victory. Perhaps as you think about these guards and the tomb, you can bring to mind any tragedy or heartache in your life, your own personal failures, your own losses. And it's like the powers of death and sin bind you in and stand over you with their foot on your throat. And we have to ask in this battle between, you know, the goodness we see in creation and the fallenness due to sin, do the bad guys really get to win? Does evil really get to stain everything? Does our sin win out? Is Good Friday the last word? But then God steps in and with a word says, no, no, sin and death don't get to win. Christ is victorious. I'm going to raise my son from the dead. And notice suddenly that whole scene is flipped on its head. This is why I love the soldiers being included there. The angel rolls the stone away. The tomb was closed, but now the tomb is open. And the living guards who were there to impose fear became so afraid that they became like dead men. And then catch this, the living guards became dead men, and the dead man in the tomb got up and walked out, right? The living became like dead, and then the dead were raised to life. And suddenly, that thing that looked hopeless, that looked beyond help, was totally transformed by the power of God. This whole thing was turned upside down. In the resurrection, we see that when light meets darkness, it's the light that holds true. The darkness did not overcome it. When goodness meets evil, it's the goodness that's vindicated. Evil is undone. When love met hatred, it was love that walked out of the tomb, and that it was evil that was made like dead men. When life entered the tomb, the gates of Hades were blown off their hinges, and life won while death was defeated. The power of God is greater than any darkness in you. The power of God is greater than any darkness in you. God offers you today forgiveness and transformation through Jesus Christ. And His Son has been raised to show us that God is victorious over sin and evil and death. Easter tells us that we who follow Jesus Christ ultimately do not need to fear the forces of wickedness and evil. Rather, the darkness probably ought to be afraid of us because of Jesus Christ in us. If the light of Christ is so bright that no darkness can overcome it, there is no darkness you're going to face if Christ is in you that will overcome you. But the light of Christ in you will shine brighter. Perhaps we shouldn't be afraid of the darkness. Maybe the darkness ought to be afraid of us. So what do we do with Easter? I'm back to my original question now that we've kind of looked at what does Easter mean or what's going on if God is really doing something here in this realm today, and that Easter shows us that God is doing something in creation. What do we do in Easter? Well, in Matthew's gospel, you'll read through and it'll go through dealing with the soldiers and stuff. But then the next thing after this resurrection story is they meet Jesus and Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations." That's the next step. Jesus Christ is risen. The Lord is victorious over death. Now you go out and make disciples of all the nations. Christ has beaten death. Take that message out. The kingdom of God is coming. Go spread it. God is doing something here today. Go tell people. Because we live in a world that's hurting, right? We live in a world that needs to know that darkness doesn't win. We live in a world that needs the light of Christ. Go and share that light of Christ. God is doing something today. Be a part of it. How do we celebrate Easter? What do we do with it? Well, we go out and proclaim that Christ is victorious, and we live our lives differently. And I know that takes courage. I know it takes courage when you're trying to go against the grain. I know it takes courage to do the right thing when you're surrounded by people making different choices. I know it takes courage to try and be salt and light in a world that tries to put out the light and get rid of the salt. I know it takes courage. But Jesus Christ, who lives in you, is more powerful than any darkness on the outside. So we live our lives differently. We go out and we love and we give and we seek the things of God. We forgive and we receive forgiveness. We set our hearts on the goodness of God, all because we know that Christ is victorious. Now, I don't know what darkness you face in your life. I don't know what sin has gotten a hold of you. But I do know this. We broke the world a long time ago, and it still hurts. I don't know what struggles you face. It can be hard to love others. It can be hard to forgive someone. Sometimes people really hurt us, and they really hurt us, and it can be hard to forgive them. It can be hard to forgive ourselves, because sometimes we have done things that are really hurtful to others, and it's hard to forgive ourselves. I don't know what hurts you carry, what losses you've suffered, but I do know this. 2,000 years ago, a dead man really did get up and walk out of that tomb. And because of that, Jesus Christ is victorious. And because of that, the light does overcome the darkness. Christ is risen. Death has been overthrown. Christ is risen. The powers of evil have fallen. Christ is risen, and we ought to rejoice. Because we know that no matter what we face today, it will not always be that way. Evil does not get to define us. It does not get to be the most powerful force in the universe. Evil does not get to win. It will always lose because it has lost. And now, even though you may die, in Jesus Christ you shall live. So take that life with you and be a part of God's transforming the world. How do we commemorate Easter? How do we celebrate Easter? Live your lives in love of Christ. You can have a peep if you want, even though it's a waste of calories, but how do you celebrate Easter? How do you commemorate the day that God defeated death? Live your life in that life of Christ. Accept the gift that he's given to you. It's nice to get chocolate eggs. It's even better to get the life in Jesus Christ. And go live that life. That's why you know, we want to be a part of God's kingdom activities in this community. So this church, we do some things to try and be a part of that. One of the things we do is we have a mentoring program called Kids Hope. And in Kids Hope, we've got people from this church that are mentoring children in the Carson City elementary school. In May, we'll have 10 people from this church community, mentoring 10 kids, 1 hour each week in the elementary school, and 10 people mentoring, and 10 other people praying for those 10 mentors and those 10 kids. And we do this because Jesus Christ loves those kids, and they need a word of light and of love, and they need someone to come alongside those teachers and the principal, those people that are trying to help those kids, and they need us as Jesus people to step in and say, yes, we're going to be a part of the good things that happen. We're going to make sure these kids know they're loved. We're going to make sure they know they're supported, and we're going to stand in the gap and help out those parents that may be struggling, and we are going to be a force for the light and the goodness of God in this world, and that's what we're going to do. That's why we do it. We have a couple of ministries that we sponsor with kids overseas. Compassion International, we've got people who have adopted children in third world countries. There's Saved by God's Grace, which is missionaries that have an orphanage over in Africa. And this is a way for us to look at children in third world countries and say, you know what? It's not right that starvation is an issue. It's not right that malnutrition is an issue. And it's not right that kids are not educated and given a chance to succeed. So we are going to stand in the gap, and we are going to support ministries that say, no, light and love and life get to win. The good guys get to come out on top of this, and the image of God is going to prevail. So we are going to be a part of God's kingdom breaking into that. So that's why we support those ministries. And we do VBS every summer, and we have a bunch of kids come into this church building, and they sing. We have a bunch of crazy adults that volunteer their time to be surrounded by children, and they give of their time, and they give of their energy, and they give of their sanity in order to just be in the midst of these children, because they need to know, these kids need to know, Jesus loves you, somebody cares, and there's going to be a force of light and of love and of goodness in this community to spread that message. We want to be kingdom of God people. So go do that. Go do that. Live your life for Christ. And I know it's hard. And it may seem dark. It may seem dark. It may seem dark like Good Friday dark. Good Friday was a couple days ago. It's Easter Sunday now. It's time for the resurrection now. Now's the time we live in victory. Now's the time we go out. And now's the time that we remember and carry with us, no matter how dark the darkness gets, the light of Jesus Christ will shine through. Now's the time we go out and face insurmountable odds, because we believe that God is the one who flipped that whole story in the tomb on its head and said, you know what? The dead get to live again, and that's the way it's going to work, because I'm God and I said so. And I want to be on his team. So I'm going to invite you to do something this morning, actually. When you leave the service, there's going to be three baskets down there. There's going to be some cards. It's a holiday, right? You know it's a holiday. Some people are working on a holiday, which kind of stinks, because I imagine they would rather be someplace else probably, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to send some gift baskets and some cards to two of them to the Laurels to help out the folks over there, and one to the gas station, to the Marathon, the one with the Next Door store, right? I'm calling it right, am I? Okay. I'm kind of new here, so I want to make sure I know this. We're going to send some baskets out to say, look, I know that you're working today, and we notice, and we appreciate you, and we love you, and we want you to know that because of Jesus Christ, we're just trying to spread a little bit of light in the world. And so I'm going to ask you to do two things. One, sign the card, but secondly, I need a group of you to go and drop those baskets off. I'm going to be busy. I got another service. But I need you to go and be the messengers of Jesus Christ. Take some to the Laurels, take one to the gas station. It's not, I know you may have the Easter ham in the oven, right? And I know, but it's going to take like 10 minutes, seriously. And you get to go and drop off a basket and people will say, what? Thank you. And you get to do that. This is a good thing. And you may think, well, what is that going to do? Just giving out some candy and some gifts. What? You know, I believe in a God who takes these small acts of love and does something with them. I believe in a God who does the unimaginable and the impossible. And I want to be a part of a community that is reaching out to this community to say, you know what, somebody does notice, somebody does care. Jesus loves you. I want to be a part of God making disciples of all nations. Would you join? I know we have guests here. That's exactly why we're doing this today. Because Christianity is not a spectator sport. We need an army. We don't need butts and pews. We need an army. So if you've come here, your game. We're asking you to go out with the love of Christ, because that's what we do, right? Would you be a part of that transforming love of God that we have in hope of because of the resurrection? Would you be a part of that? Remember, always remember, Jesus is victorious. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I invite you to worship with us in person at Carson City United Methodist Church. We are located at 119 East Elm Street in Carson City, Michigan, or you can find us right behind the BP gas station off of Main Street. Our worship times are at 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:15. This has been Pastor Andy Kroll, and I'm going to turn it over to Rory Miller and Venkman to take us on home.